You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. It's Alex Dunn and Ross Brierley on the latest edition. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's racing, with today being Tuesday. And that's a strong start, Ross.
It is.
Knowing the day is often key, I reckon. Well, not just to podcasts, but...
I guess so. But it's hard in racing because it just goes on every day. It's not like you don't have a weekend, really, do you?
Saturday is noticeably better than other days.
Yeah.
But otherwise... A Monday could be a Wednesday.
It could be.
Often.
Well, I mean, for a start, the days are a human construct.
Very true.
Well, they are, you know, based around, you know, lunar cycles and all that. But, and the sun rising and whatnot.
It always comes back to the moon, really, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. But ultimately, I think the Monday to Friday kind of thing is, it's a capitalist creation, so... And racing doesn't really fit into that mould, so it's understandable that you get confused, Alex.
If you were in charge
of racing or the days,
we'll start with the days.
Yeah,
racing will follow.
Right.
What are you suggesting that we do?
I think we should have 365 different names for, and we should be like, what day is it? It's
Steve.
Possibly, yeah. Tuesday the 13th.
Or we could sponsor them.
You could sponsor them. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's ultimately the culmination of a capitalistic society, isn't it?
Just get money out of everything.
Yeah, literally everything.
Right, so we've dealt with the fact that it's Tuesday.
We sorted that out, yeah.
And we're talking about Wednesday. You're in the Racing Post now.
I am.
How's that happened then?
Yeah.
Because I've known you a fair while now. And if someone had said to me, someone's on the verge of writing for the Racing Post,
yeah,
I'd have thought, it's got to be one of our hard-hitting journalists. One of those people who we work with who know every single horse's form inside out, who could give you a stat at the push of a button.
Well, I could do that. Not on the flat. Not during the winter.
That is true, actually. But no, instead, they thought, Ross Brierley is the man that we need, and I'm delighted for you, mate.
They thought, you know what we need? Twaddle. We need more twaddle.
Well, yeah, but twaddle's great to read.
Well, that's the thing. You know, racing writing is often very, very dry.
And incredibly repetitive and similar.
Yeah.
Because how many points can you make?
Well, everyone's coming from the same angle, aren't they? They're coming from... There's only so many ways you can interpret a form book. Mm-hmm. There's only so many ways you can fondle a stopwatch. However...
That's my back tattoo, actually.
There's only so many ways you can fondle a stopwatch. That's your family motto, I do believe.
It is, yeah.
However, twaddle takes on many, many forms.
Mm.
And I have a lot of thoughts about... Most things.
Yeah, you could have stopped just that. I have a lot of thoughts.
I have a lot of thoughts. And quite frankly, it's nice to finally find a receptacle for them.
When and how and where will it be?
It's every Sunday. Every Sunday in the Racing Post Sunday, they said, look, you can go in the edition, which we sell the least of, probably. Well, maybe they... Actually, that's probably not true, because people would buy it for review on Saturday.
True.
And actually, you probably get a lot of people... You get a lot of people going to the race on Sunday and therefore buying a Racing Post. Mm-hmm. So maybe I've done myself down there a bit. But you want to... For example, you know, the only newspaper I would buy is a Sunday newspaper, because I want to read... The articles and the long reads and that kind of thing. So, I think that's the idea. I mean, obviously, if you listen to William Hill Radio and you find my personality repellent, then you're going to struggle. But if you thought, you know what, this lad's not bad, then
give him a chance,
give him a read.
Yeah.
And to be fair, I wasn't overly happy with the first one. I definitely overthought it.
Okay.
But I just was like, I've got to get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just get this out of the way. So it can only get better.
Well, we've definitely stolen the idea of you can't now talk about the concept of days in the next edition.
Yeah. But they've essentially said you can, if it's vaguely racing related, you can talk about what you want. So
nice.
Let's see what they mean by vaguely.
Any tips at the end of it, or is it just purely
no tips?
Just
no.
Twaddle.
Well, everyone, that's what everyone else is there for.
Oh yeah, I agree.
So.
And Suddle's rarely on a Sunday.
That is true, yeah.
So
what else am I going to offer? But in this week's proposed article, I'm considering. One thing I wrote yesterday, which might end up in, is suggesting an apprentice style tips to knockout format hosted by Derek Thompson. So if that's the kind of thing you want to see,
yeah, nice. You're out, big fella. Would that be? That's not your out, you're fired.
You're fired, yeah.
That's Duncan Bannatan, I think.
It was, what I was going for was, are you fired? I thought you were.
See, that's much better than what I did, which was getting a catchphrase wrong anyway.
Yeah. But I appreciated it.
Yeah.
You made me look better.
Yes, which is what a presenter of a podcast is there for.
Absolutely. Any good host, it's about, you know, you're taking the bullet for the guests.
I am
for the
merely
guests.
A chef and my ingredients have to sing. And you, Ross Briley, are a chief ingredient.
Thank you. Perhaps a
large mushroom. right. Enough twaddle now. Shall we talk about Wednesday's racing?
Absolutely.
I'm
jack of all trades.
Let's focus on two races.
Yep.
And you said, no, I want to talk about three.
Yeah. I mean, we could talk about four if you wanted, but...
What's the other one?
Well, it's a really good race. There's a class two at Newcastle,
right.
But it's way too
hard.
We're
doing it. We're mentioning it.
Let's chat about it then.
Is it the 3:10?
It is.
Okay, we'll start with the most difficult one then, the 3:10. 7 furlong handicap, class two event, looks wide open. As we record this, we're 7-2 the field here at William Hill. Glenn Shield, a favourite, but as you said, it is open, but it's a good open. It's because a lot of these arrive here in good form.
Yeah, well, there's 28 grand on the table in the middle of February, so. Why the hell wouldn't you turn up if you have a horse who fits in the ratings band? But yeah, the market leader is Glenn Shiel, who was heavily backed to win last time out, won a handicap over this course and distance off a mark at 96. Has only gone up £4, but beat some informed horses. But I think it has to improve. So I think the market is open. I would take the favourite on.
Mm-hmm.
The question is trying to find the correct one to support in opposition. I think one of the most interesting one is the second favourite, Kaiser Soze, who is starting to come down to a reasonable mark again, but to be fair, never really runs a bad race. This horse has, you know, contested the very best handicaps around in the past 12 months. He's a course and distance winner, and things just didn't go to plan behind Reeves last time out. Was a bit sluggish at the start and paid for it late on. So I think Kaiser Soze is a fascinating contender.
Mm.
And the other one for me is, where are we? Sonard for Michael Wigham.
Big price. 14s as we speak.
Yeah, pulled up on its last start, which is obviously a problem. Trainer said the gelding had a wind problem. It was wearing a tongue tie. It's still wearing a tongue tie.
Mm.
They haven't given a wind up, but... We've literally just been on a race in Musselburgh where the trainer's representative gave exactly the same comment for one of the runners, and he's just hacked up
mm-hmm.
without wearing a tongue tie or a wind up. So it's not as simple as that. But this horse has really good all weather form.
He's all or nothing, isn't he?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah.
But he's winning a 0-95 around this time last year where he bolted up to. From the back of the field. He came from the clouds to beat Love Dreams and Exchequer and Lethal Lunch, which is pretty good form for the grade.
Yeah.
And he's got course and distance form as well, so it brings him right into it. So they're the two interesting ones. But you could throw Casbarn into it, who's dropping back in trip after some good runs. Oh, This Is Us is a really classy horse.
This is a great race, isn't it?
It is.
Larissa Breeze, top weight as well.
Yep.
Athol Blair Boy won here the other day.
And he did a very strongly run race. So that was a very good speed
figure.
Windy
day.
Oh, yeah, it might well have been,
I think
yeah.
it was. I think Arthur Blair was off the pace, so...
That's probably why the... The figure was it was. And Young Fire as well, who I was really impressed with at Wolverhampton, came from the back to score, so... It's a cracking race.
Mm. You've got the two Morley runners who both won last time out, 18s and 22s, Heartstopper and Papastara as we speak. So, interesting race. I know that you weren't going to put a pick up, but if you had to, would it be Kaiser Soze?
I'd back Kaiser Soze and Sennard.
Okay. But, 14 yeah. Sennard, Kaiser Soze 11-2 as we speak. Right, the 4:15 is a race that you do have a fancy in. What is that fancy?
It is Humbert for David O'Mara and Shane Gray, who I think has... been crying out for the drop back in trip, has been running over 10 furlongs at Lingfield behind nice horses, behind Just the Man, Sky Defender and El Gazwani, in really good races. They're all strongly run handicaps with good speed figures and rock solid course types.
He won the other day as well, didn't he, again El Gazwani?
Yeah, and Sky Defender would at yes. Kempton, so they've both ranked the form. Off a mark of 87, has been to Newcastle once before and won a 22 grand handicap off a mark of 97. So he's really well handicapped, drawn slap bang in the middle, so should be fine on that account. Running in some really good races, drops back in trip, and should get a half decent toe into it as well. So it's another good race, though.
Interesting, he's never been back to Newcastle. That win was in June 2018, and I know since then he's gone up in the ratings and then dropped down again and had a couple of breaks and trainer changes. But nevertheless, you'd have thought someone may have tried him another time here.
Yeah, but I don't think there's enough races for him. That's the problem.
Yeah, possibly. He's almost too good.
You look at First Response, Vive la Difference and Paparazzi, who are the core specialists who are lining up. You know, they're rated 76, 77 and 80.
70s, yeah.
So there's a lot of those. There's a lot of Class 4 handicaps you can run in, but there's not many...
Well, off the back of winning that race last time, he went up to a mark of 100. So that's probably why.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And this he's down to 87, which means he's actually down to a 0-85.
With the leeway.
For the first time in God knows how long. So, he looks to have a big chance.
Humbert, then, in the 4:15 at Newcastle, will head south for the evening action, the 6:30 at Kempton, the next race that we're going to focus on. Interesting that you've gone for this race, because it's a maiden race, which must mean that you saw something last time out or first time out.
I thought Irish Acclaim was head and shoulders the best horse in this race. Might be priced up accordingly. Hopefully Rondo... captivated and a couple of newcomers will make things interesting. That's the only problem you've got. You've got a Varia newcomer, you've got a Tate newcomer, you've got a Crisford newcomer. But if Irish Acclaim can be back to any, you know, north of 3-1, I think you want to stick it in all the each way multis.
Yeah.
Sent off odds on last time out, looked like it was going to come and win at Lingfield behind Gold Brocade, but I just don't think it had the turn of foot. It just didn't have the pace.
That was over 6, this is 7, isn't it?
Yeah, just as and every runner shaped like 7 would suit. So cheap pieces on for the first time, and has been found a relatively weak race. Like I said, you don't know what you're getting with the newcomers, and that's the problem. But I'm not suggesting he's a bang on, full on 10-point guaranteed win. But I'd be very surprised if he's not in the mix. And the look at that, and you'll see odds on beaten twice, and I think there's excuses for most of his defeats. So.
Okay.
The cheap pieces should make the difference, and he's the solid one in that race.
And we've spoken on this podcast before about you liking your each-way multiples, as I do as well, or placeackers, and he is the solid one in the lineup, isn't he? You wouldn't be surprised if something is good enough to beat him on debut. Well, it could happen.
Yeah.
But at the same time, on what we've seen of the others, you'd expect him to be best of the rest, if you like.
Absolutely.
And that could be good enough to
and
win the
nine
race.
Runners is a nice shape to the race.
It is. That's a 6:30 at Kempton, then Irish Acclaim, hopefully at a nice price. We don't have prices through for that race as we record this at just after 3 o'clock on Tuesday. The 7:30 at Kempton, the final race we're going to talk about, a handicap over 6 furlongs, a Class 3 event. And again, a fair few of these arrive here in decent nick, and they've been in decent nick since the turn of the year.
Yeah, but I thought Treacherous was really impressive the other day. Up £5, and you know, not sure. They're obviously trying. I mean, this is a perfect race for him to take advantage of that, and he might go up a little bit more as well. It was a career best. He absolutely loves Kempton. I think that was his sixth win here. And he's never run a bad race in Handicap Company here at this track. Yes, he got the right ride. He got the good toe into it, and he came down the middle of the track, which is the best place to be. So everything went to plan for him.
Got a career high mark to defy here as well with the £5 penalty.
Yeah, but it was a career best speed figure. It was it was through the roof. It really was. And if you look at his runs last year, he got beaten in January, and then he won his next three back to back: Newcastle, Kempton, Kempton. This year, he got beaten in January, and then he won last time out. So. I think he's got, you know, he's got to have leading claims in this event. Last year he won a 0-90 in March off a mark of 81. You know, it's potential that he could sneak into that again and rattle up another hat trick. But I just think he's a sprinter going places on this surface.
Okay, interesting as well that in January last year he would finish third at Kempton and then went up to Newcastle and won, but that was only 9 days later. And similarly, in 2018, he ran on the 6th of June and the 13th of June and won both starts on that occasion. So he is a horse that when he's in good form, he just goes.
Absolutely, yeah, so, yeah.
Okay, treacherous then in the 7:30. I sense that would be the strongest bet.
I think it'd be the strongest bet, yes, yes. My only slight concern is a potential lack of pace with a smaller field, but... that is the only worry. I guess Junius Brutus. No, I'll take that back, actually. Junius Brutus and Bungee Jump.
Yeah.
They're both keen goers. Yeah. So Bungee Jump just goes like a psychopath. The Knapp is probably going to be Humbert just because it's a much more attractive price.
Okay. A few fancies then. A couple at Newcastle, a couple at Kempton for you on Wednesday. Nearly forgot again there.
You did.
just wrap them up for us, will you? In a nice potential lucky 15 for the listener. We'll start at Newcastle with the 3:10.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, sorry, I forgot that I'd. That was the one I was like, I'm not going to put a tip in, but then that's why you threw me a curveball. But Kaiser Soze and Sanard.
If you were having a lucky 15, which one would you put in?
Kaiser Soze.
Right, that's in the 3:10. The 4:15.
Humbert
at 6-1. The 6:30.
Irish Claim
at a price that we don't know yet, and the 7:30.
Treacherous
is 15-8 as we record. Ross Briley, it's been an absolute honour and a pleasure.
Shake my hand. Goodbye.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.